there's plenty of talk these days about the affordability of college with rising tuition and record amounts of student debt. There seems to be a growing attitude that maybe the current system isn't working, and that's got a lot of people questioning if college is still worth it.
Our next guest says, yes, college is still worth it, but something needs to change. Her idea? Have the federal government partner with states, public colleges and universities, and localities and businesses to offer the first 2 years of college for free. So how would it work?
Well, joining us now in the studio is Sarah Goldrick-Rabb. She's an associate professor of educational policy studies at UW-Madison. She's the co-author of a new report called Redefining College Affordability, Securing America's Future with a Free Two-Year College Option. Sarah, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So you've written that the current system of financial aid fails to support the American dream. Why?
Well, I think that families across Wisconsin and across the nation believe in the importance of hard work. And they tell themselves that if only their students, their children work hard in school, or if they work hard in their workplace, and then they seek an education, that that hard work will pay off by enabling them to get a college education. Instead, what's happening is even after all of that hard work of going through high school or going through the workplace on the way to college, once they get there and they file that financial aid form for assistance, what they find out is they are still completely unable to afford it.
And as a result, they're dropping out? They're not finishing?
In fact, they're starting to not attend, which I think is the most troubling evidence. We're finding that among academically well-prepared students, even those from middle-income families are starting to forego college. And it doesn't look like this is happening because they don't want to attend anymore, because the surveys indicate they do want to attend. They just can't afford it. We are also seeing higher rates of dropout.
And I have been doing some reading about this lately, and I understand that in certain cases, colleges may offer financial aid to students who look the best on paper. They have the best test scores instead of the students who have the most need. And this is, I guess, as seen as a way to help colleges improve their ranking. Does that factor into this?
Sure, that's part of it. Although here in Wisconsin, we actually don't give out that much financial assistance, only to students who have academic merit and not financial need. There are other states that are far more invested in that sort of strategy. Wisconsin understands that there's talent all over the state, and it does invest in them to the degree that we have the resources to do so.
So right now there has been a lot of criticism, a lot of cultural commentary about whether college is still worth it for people, especially if you look at the debt load that people are carrying, you know, long into their adulthood. So how would you answer that question? Is college still worth it?
I actually don't think that the question of whether college is worth it should be made purely in economic terms. I think it's rather arbitrary that we're deciding whether or not the 13th or 14th grades of education are valuable based on economic returns, and yet you don't hear anyone saying, well, 11th grade is no longer valuable, or 9th grade is no longer valuable. The fact of the matter is that people understand that to participate in their communities, they need to be informed and they need to be educated. And I don't think that people who are college educated are in any way better than anyone else, but I think they've had the luxury of spending more time getting to know about the world. So I believe that college is worth it primarily because people get to continue to the learning process, and that that's valuable. And it seems that that's actually what the American public is saying.
And you have a plan to help make this happen and make it easier, you hope, for people to go to college and to finish college. Tell us about your plan.
Well, this is a plan that I developed with Nancy Kendall, my colleague at UW-Madison, and it was initially funded with a grant that allowed us to work on this from the Lumina Foundation. Now, this is really important to remember. This plan does not involve any extra resources. This is not magic money. This is not inventing out of thin air a way to rob institutions of all of their tuition and somehow still educate students. This is about simply taking the existing money that is already in the system at the federal and state levels and changing how we allocate it. So right now, we take a pot of about $100 billion of federal financial aid and we spread it very thinly. We spread it across students who are getting associate's degrees and bachelor's degrees. We also spread it across students no matter what kind of institution they're in. So if you could imagine that in K-12, we took our limited dollars and we spread them across any kind of school you went to, of any sort, you'd find that we actually don't have very much money left for our public schools. And that, in fact, is what's happening in higher education. So we take the existing money and we simply focus it on the public sector, where the vast majority of Americans seem to prefer to go to college. and we focus it on 2 years because 2 years is a good start.
What is crucial about getting through those first 2 years at a public university?
Well, first of all, the evidence actually indicates very nice and strong returns to a two-year degree. An associate's degree in Wisconsin pays off quite substantially. And nationwide, if you compare the wage offered by a job that requires an associate's degree, it's about $61,000. If you compare that to a job requiring a bachelor's degree, it's about $63,000. Now, some people will argue that's because the bachelor's degree is being devalued. But I'd argue it's actually because the associate's degree is worthwhile. It's also the case that if you're going on for a four-year degree, it's often the experience of students that during those first 2 years, they're sorting things out. They're not yet sure whether they're college material. They're not yet sure whether they can really make it. And if they can't establish momentum during those first 2 years, and yet they carry debt and they take on expenses they're going to have to pay later, and it doesn't work out, that's where we see people really in crisis.
And this is an option, this free 2 years at public universities for every student, not just students, say, who come from an economically challenged background.
Exactly. And I think that families across Wisconsin would probably recognize that, well, once upon a time, only perhaps the bottom 25% of the income distribution needed financial aid for college. Today, 75% of our families are finding it hard to afford college. So our financial aid system isn't really meeting our needs, and it's leaving a lot of people out in the cold. And they're rightly angry about that. And I think that we have to address it. And the way to address it is to try to lower the cost for anyone who wants to take advantage of it so that they can at least get some security by having 2 years of a college education, rather than try and carry the debt and consider it a lifelong investment that they may never see pay off.
And what if a student has been working hard, they want to go to a private college? Should there still be funding available for them?
Honestly, we say in this report, the answer is no. People have choices, and one of the choices that they legitimately have to make today in higher education is whether they're going to go in the public or private sector. Now, once upon a time, it was the case the public sector didn't have space for you. The public sector was not that large. The public sector had limited options. But if you look around places like Wisconsin, you will see that we offer you small colleges and large colleges. We offer all kinds of experiences in the public sector. And therefore, if you want to choose to go to the private sector, that's something that you and your family can decide to pay for.
And let's say someone takes you up on this. What happens after the first 2 years are up? Who pays for that?
After the first 2 years are up, it's a very good question. Now, under this plan, the schools would not be allowed to charge enormous amounts of money after those first 2 years. There would still be loans available to those students because we do not take away the loan dollars at the federal government level in order to do this. And we also retain the work study program. But there's also the fact that institutions have some of their own financial aid, and I believe that they will find it more worthy to invest that in a student who's already made it through the first 2 years of college and proven themselves.
Is there a concern here at all that by offering 2 free years of higher education that in any way it devalues college? It makes it seem something that's it's less precious.
I think that's a myth that we've told ourselves over the last 20 to 30 years, where colleges have convinced us that the more something costs, the better it is. And that's nonsense. There absolutely is no evidence that a more expensive place is actually a place where you get a better education. It's just a place where you pay more dollars. So just like you can find a bargain vehicle, you can find a bargain education.
Is this anyway going to cement even further a class system where those kids who come from privileged families, they're the ones who can go to Harvard and Yale and Princeton, and somebody else, maybe they have grades that are just as good, they're going to a state school.
Right. I think that the real class system that we have emerging right now is between the people who can get any kind of college completed and those who are just barely entering, losing and dropping out with debt. And that is the biggest most tremendous thing that we need to deal with. You know, I think that we're in a position right now like we were when we were deciding whether or not to expand high school and make that free. A good starting place in this case, rather than jumping in whole hog to making K-12 free, is to start with the equivalent of elementary school the first 2 years. Then we can talk about the bachelor's degree. But at this point in time in this country, with the money that we have and what's available to us and where our families are, I think 2 years is the right place to start.
And any chances that people are going to get through those 2 years and say, well, I've got my 2 years of education, now I'm out of here, I'm going to drop out?
I think, frankly, that that wouldn't be dropping out. That would be called jobbing out. That would be called taking a job and going after it with a credential in your hand. And that is a very good outcome.
We're talking right now with Sarah Goldrick-Rabb from UW-Madison. She says it's time to help students make it through college by making the first 2 years free at public universities. Well, what do you think of this idea? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. We're talking with Sarah Goldrick-Rabb from UW-Madison right now. She says that in order to make college affordable, it's time to reallocate some resources and offer 2 years of college for free. And what do you think about this idea? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Talking about the idea of making 2 years of college for free at public universities. And we'll go to our first caller now. Jean joins us in Duluth, Iowa. Hi, Jean.
Duluth, Minnesota, actually.
Ah, Duluth, Minnesota. Sorry, I've got a typo there. Yeah. What do you think about this idea?
I'm in favor of it. I would certainly support it here as well as there. I spent a career as a vocational guidance counselor for a special population, but one of my frustrations was that the schools tend to be all too often a hurdle rather than as a conduit to the jobs, because they were trying to meet academic rather than societal standards. By societal, I mean jobs, really. I think this wouldn't be 2 years of schooling free. This would be investing in your society.
Great. Well, thank you for your thoughts, Jean. And what do you think about that, Sarah?
I think that's exactly right. I think that we know that when we get people access to this kind of education, it pays off tremendously in the long run. It really is a matter of spending money now or spending a whole lot more money later.
Well, thank you so much for your thoughts, Jean. And let's move along to Bruce joining us in Partyville. Hi, Bruce.
Hello there. My question is, well, I actually kind of like the plan. We're still using taxpayer dollars that's somewhere along the way in the old world loans and the new ways through some other mechanism to fund the tuition. How does the plan as a concept help control what is, in effect, rampant tuition inflation?
Okay, good question. Thanks, Bruce. Sarah?
I think that's a terrific question. It's a question that we started with when we were thinking about how to do this. So first of all, we need to know that right now we have absolutely no way of controlling it. And in fact, there's some evidence that financial aid is used to drive up the prices charged at some schools, notably private and especially for-profit institutions. And we're not getting a handle on that. Under this plan, there is a list of allowable expenses that the federal government will dictate to these institutions that says, look, you can provide an education to students in the following categories, and that's what we're willing to pay for. It also says that it is not okay to charge, or not to charge, but to spend an incredible amount more at your school than some neighboring school is able to do, so that geography will no longer so closely dictate the quality of the local public school near you. So it has a variety of mechanisms built in here, and I agree with you, the taxpayers are spending a lot. In this case, the effort here is to get a handle on that inflation, to get some control over it.
Okay, well, thank you for the thought, and we'll move along. Sue is joining us. She's in Minocqua. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I think that your heart is in the right place on this, but my concern is that the majority of kids I knew when I was in college that had a free ride, and what I'm seeing from my children's classmates who have a free ride, I can't say across the board everyone, but a fairly high majority doesn't seem to appreciate that. They don't apply themselves, and they don't really make use of the opportunity. So rather than offering a free education the first 2 years, I could see doing a highly subsidized, but if that kid doesn't have a vested interest, if they aren't paying something, they aren't necessarily going to work very hard.
All right. Well, thank you, Sue, for that. And this getting at that question again about whether this idea would devalue college, you do allow for a work aspect of it as well.
Yeah, that's right. So I certainly have heard people say what you're saying, Sue, and I understand where it's coming from. We're worried about students not being sufficiently motivated. But what's important to know is that when we've gone out in the field and done research on this topic, we find very little evidence that students aren't motivated. What looks like a lack of motivation is, in fact, for many of these students, the effect of trying to do too much. And they end up slacking in school because they're spending so much time outside of school working, doing childcare, helping their families, etc. And they end up looking like they're not doing much at school. We find that they actually appear to be more motivated when they actually are more financially supported. So the research evidence would actually indicate that we'd see higher levels of academic performance under this plan.
Okay, well, thank you for calling, Sue. And let's go next. Mike is joining us in Allentown. I think that's right. Yes. Hello, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Good. Kind of along the same lines, rather than the first 2 years, why not the last 2 years? I mean, that's when students are most money strapped. Kind of the same reason as the last caller is that, you know, when I was in college, there were a lot of people there that were just occupying space and not, you know, really caring about it. I think as you get into the last 2 years of college, when you're really money strapped and you have the goal at the end in sight, would be a better way to spend that money.
Okay, that's an interesting thought, Mike. So maybe that would help people get to the finish line of a four-year degree anyway, if the last 2 years were paid for. What about that?
Right. Well, I certainly understand where you're coming from, and you're right. The current system often leaves those students who are in the home stretch short of the cash that they need to finish, and that's really unfortunate. In this case, I believe that that would primarily advantage those on their way to the bachelor's degree and would leave out in the cold those people who are really at the most economic risk in this society, and those are people who are not going to be going for four-year degrees. They need those two-year degrees. And so, in other words, I don't think it would be the best economic or most cost-effective use of our resources to focus them on the last 2 years of a bachelor's degree.
We're talking right now with Sarah Goldrick-Rabb. She is with UW-Madison. She's got an idea, a plan to make college more affordable, and it is to make the first 2 years of college free at public universities by reallocating resources that are already available, funding that's already there, making the first 2 years of public colleges, universities, technical schools free. And we'll go back to the phones right now. You can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And Eugene joins us next from Viola. Hey, Eugene.
Good afternoon. This isn't the Priest College isn't anything new. I went 2 years to normal school, Normal County Teachers College. You picked up 68 credits, cost you $48 for 2 years tuition. You picked up 68 credits, 64 transferred to a state college, and it cost you $48.
All right.
$1 bill.
So a similar idea there that he's seen. You want to respond to that?
I think that's right, and I actually think that I'm looking to history here and thinking about this idea. I will say this. The plan that Nancy and I have put forward does not simply involve a waiver of the cost of tuition and fees, but it actually also provides a way for people to meet their living expenses, at, you know, admittedly just above poverty level. I mean, we're not trying to allow people to, you know, live high on the hog while they're going to school, but it does the equivalent of what you might recall the GI Bill of 1944 did, which is it provides a subsistence payment. It's a limited amount, and they work for part of it, but it allows them to focus on school. And one of the reasons that so many students, especially in our technical colleges right now, struggle to get done in timely fashion is how much they are juggling school and work.
Sarah, if nothing new happens, if your plan isn't adopted, if the way the college payment process goes on the way it has right now, what's at stake here?
I think there's a lot at stake here. I mean, frankly, what we're seeing happen right now is a lot of people go to college. They want to do that. They're accruing quite a bit of debt. They're leaving without a degree in their hands, and they're walking away pretty angry. I think that's a dangerous situation for this country to be in. It's not a good thing for people to have worked hard and seen it not pay off.
And so you think that by getting more people into college and helping them, we'll see people reinvested in college again?
Well, I don't even know that we'll see so many more people go to college. I think we'll get a few more people going. But the main point here is to increase the efficiency. It's to get people who start college to actually finish with something in their hands so that they can walk away and move into the labor market and not be angry at our government and feel that they've been supported in their effort to live the American dream.
You're a professor of educational policy at UW-Madison. You're on campus. You're with students. What do you hear from them about their experience and their experience with college and the debt load and all of that right now?
Right. I have to say, I mean, I am at Madison, but I spend a lot of my time on our other campuses. Just the other day, I was out at Platteville. I've been out at Richland Center and at Stout. I've also been all over the country at a lot of two-year schools. And what I hear are a lot of very frustrated, concerned people who wonder why it is that we're not supporting them in doing something that everybody widely says is a good idea.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Sarah Goldrick-Rabb, an associate professor of educational policy studies at UW-Madison. She's the co-author of a new report called Redefining College Affordability, just out today.